Dan Bickley.
Dan.
Dan.
Vince Murata.
Vince, you said before you were waiting for a sign. What sign are you waiting for?
Bickley and Murata.
Vinny.
Beck.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Second half of the Friday show. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Luke Lipinski in for Bick today. Dan will be back starting on Monday. At least that's the plan right now.
I hope he's not getting stuck in Reykjavik.
Wait, is he in Iceland? Is he really in Iceland?
Who knows? I don't know where he
is.
This is the longest he's been gone where he hasn't been like at the Olympics or something.
Maybe he is at the Olympics. Somehow.
Are there Olympics going on?
I'm sure there's something. The Icelandic
parallel
Olympics.
Universe.
Is it covering the World Cup, maybe?
Possibly.
It's over as well.
The World Cup of sailing.
He'll be back on Monday.
He's covered events that have been over for quite a long time, and he still hadn't been back before.
Stuff like this is why he calls you a moron on the air.
Whoops.
Just so you know.
You know, one of the elements that I'm really liking about Luke filling, and I always like working with Luke. This goes way back. I've always been a big fan of his work. But the building tension between Jarrett Carlin and Luke Lipinski just makes me chuckle.
Oh, it's going to be one of these days.
Absolutely love it.
Jarrett is dressed like somebody who would pop out of the corner and say cowabunga to total strangers on vacation. That's how Jarrett is dressed today. And he's actually kind of downplayed it a little bit.
And you're dressed like you're in a Cure cover band.
Because I'm working with Vince. I have to be dressed like Robert
Smith. You're waiting for your mom to pick you up so you can go to Hot Topic and get the latest.
I need more spiky bracelets.
Yeah, just to describe, Jarrett, you're good at describing your own shirts. What was the description for that back in the
day? I don't know. This is a relatively new shirt.
It is?
After,
new to you.
After the Civil War?
This looks like if... All right, if you're in a jungle that was near a nuclear power plant, so all the animals and plant life soaked in the nuclear waste.
And would glow fluorescent colors.
At night, yeah. So this is that at night.
All right, so that's your look. I can describe Luke's look.
Go ahead and try.
Black button down, black undershirt, black pants, black socks.
Black shoes.
Black hole sun. Look, black hole sun! Spoon Man. It's Friday.
We need to have a conversation between Gambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger at some point in the show.
That would have to be, I think, produced.
Okay. Like,
that's hard to pull off live and on the spot.
All right.
Luke, do something.
You never... That, ironically, is how Jarrett produces the rundown, too. He gets in around 5:30. He's like, Luke, do something.
And that's then not true. I get in early, and then I go get a burrito, and then I...
Yeah, that's my best time to get work done is when Jarrett goes and gets food.
All right, one of the big stories of the NBA this offseason has been the Golden State Warriors adding DeMarcus Cousins to the mix on a one-year, $5 million deal. And yeah, they got a top 10, arguably a top 10 player to add to the best team in the league. Champions three of the last 4 years. And we'll get into the Cousins stuff in a minute because he was introduced in Oakland to the Warriors media yesterday, and he had some interesting quotes. But there's all this talk about the Warriors' style of play, and I'm not, I have Warriors fatigue at this point, but I can sit back and marvel at the way that they have, in their way, revolutionized the game of basketball. And we know that not just in basketball, but other sports, there's a copycat movement that goes, some team has success doing something, other teams want to capitalize on that. They want to emulate that style. Is the Golden State Warriors style even emulatable? That might be the question.
That's another Soundgarden song.
Charles Barkley of NBA on TNT was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he says... No.
You can't win the game by shooting threes unless you got Steph, Clay, and Kevin Durant. Those guys could be analytical. That's the only reason they work. Now, they've totally taken a big guy out the game, which if I played against the Warriors, I'd beat them up physically inside. But they don't want to play. I'd make them play big guys.
Yep.
But now you got these other guys around the league. Everybody's like, let's just shoot threes, let's shoot threes, let's shoot threes. And I'm like, listen, unless you have Clay, Steph, and Kevin, it's not going to work.
All right. Is it impossible? Should other teams be trying to do what Barkley says, beat them up physically, as opposed to trying to play up and down three-point shooting.
Well, wasn't that's terrible?
Sort of the Lakers' whole thing that they want to be different than.
That's terrible.
That's Bickley, right?
That's Bickley doing his Barkley impression.
That's definitely not Barkley. I don't remember what I was going to say now. Isn't that kind of what the Lakers said they're trying to do? Maybe not beat the Warriors up, but not try to mimic them. Just try to go the exact opposite direction around LeBron. I mean, it helps if you have LeBron in place. I think that what the Warriors are doing is something that you can emulate and have success. But I don't think you're going to win titles or beat the Warriors because you don't have Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant. That's a very astute point. It's a very obvious point, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can emulate the style all you want, but those guys are three of the greatest shooters that have ever played the game.
You can't emulate the talent. You can emulate the style.
No. So that's where I give Golden State credit. Now, if Barkley's plan and his strategy is the one that will be followed, if teams just throw their hands up and say, all right, this isn't working. Golden State's too good at what they do. Let's go the extreme opposite. Let's slow it down. Let's get physical. Let's have a center, a big guy in the middle.
You're just quoting Olivia Newton-John now?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not going to be the song of the day, is it?
Yeah, we're going to play some Xanadu coming up.
Oh, good.
One of the forgotten hits of her catalog. But that would irk me as a fan because as frustrated as I am with Golden State's dominance right now, and it doesn't seem to be letting up anytime soon, I don't want to go back to an ugly style of NBA basketball. Yeah. Overall, it's a very aesthetically pleasing game. Even for bad teams, the style that they play is pretty entertaining. I don't want to go back to the New York Knicks of Pat Riley, the Detroit Bad Boys where there's wrestling going. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to final scores that are in the high 70s. So I'm kind of torn. While I want to see somebody combat what the Warriors are doing, and I agree with Charles Barkley, you can't do it better than they do.
No.
And I'll say that from now until the end of time. What we're seeing right now, we're never going to see it played that well again.
No, because Kevin Durant's going to go down in history as what? One of the 15 best players? Maybe even better? Steph Curry's going to go down in history as one of the two or three best shooters when he retires. Maybe
I
the
think
best.
They might be on those respective lists right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant could easily go down as the fifth best player in NBA history, and it wouldn't shock me. And Steph Curry absolutely could go down as the best shooter. Those are the two guys. You can mimic everything else they do. Draymond Green, if Draymond Green was on the Pacers, we would barely hear about him. Not to say he's not a great player, and he's a major part of the Warriors winning, but he benefits from being on a team with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson is fantastic, but you can mimic what they're doing and find guys as good as Klay Thompson. That's not to take anything away from Klay Thompson. He's outstanding, but there are other good shooters in the NBA, but there's just not anybody like Steph Curry or Kevin Durant, and they're on the same team. And when you put them on that same team with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and now DeMarcus Cousins, and they do a good job of just filling out, when they actually have to take players that aren't top 20 players and fill out roles, they do a good job with that too.
Yeah, Barkley further on the subject, they don't understand why everyone wants to play small against the Warriors. You're not going to beat them like that, but now all you got is these analytical idiots around the whole league running the NBA now, and they're acting, they're trying to act like having a good big guy is a bad thing. I'm like, he can get you layups, he can get you dunks, he can get the other team in foul trouble, but all of a sudden, one team does something because they've got three of the greatest offensive players ever, and everybody's like, let's try that. Well, you can try it, but you're not going to shoot better than those three guys, so they're wasting their time.
Analytical idiots. That's a great name for a band.
It really is.
It's a thinker. And also, it isn't. All at once. He's right. You're not going to be able to. You have to sift through what Barkley's saying to get to his actual point sometimes. But he's right on that one. You're not going to out-warrior
the
Warriors.
Not the point about the analytical idiots.
No. But
it has a value in basketball.
Yeah.
But the point about not being able to emulate or beat the Warriors at their game is spot on.
That's their game. They were revolutionary in some ways.
And just to add insult to injury, the Warriors have added a big guy.
Well, yeah, that's the other issue.
Now, he's a versatile big guy who can step out and he can pass from the high post. He can hit threes. He's a very polished offensive player. How much he contributes this year remains to be seen. But Boogie Cousins did a sit down with Chris Haynes from ESPN yesterday. He was asked about, you know, the outrage that him signing with Golden State caused. His quote, I didn't really care, honestly. I don't really care. It trips me out just to see. It's crazy, like, how angry people were.
Well, okay. Let's think about that for a second. People got mad at DeMarcus Cousins for taking less money to go try and win a championship. But then on the flip side, everybody got mad at Carmelo Anthony a few years ago when he decided to skip out on trying to win a championship to take the most possible money from a team like New York.
Mm-hmm.
So is that just is that a sign of the league changing and everybody's sick of Golden State, or is it really just no matter what you do, people are going to be upset?
I think it's the latter.
Okay.
Oh, he's all about the money. Oh, he's all about ring chasing. There's like no in between anymore.
No.
And I'm not going to sit here and say it's not frustrating. And Boogie Cousins, during his introductory press conference in the Bay Area, was asked, Did you ruin the league by joining Golden State?
Do you feel like this is going to be ruining the league by adding you to this team?
No, we still got to go out there and play like every other player does.
Then why do you think that narrative is circulating?
Say that again?
Why do you think that narrative is circulating that building these quote-unquote super teams is ruining the league?
I don't know, and I really don't care.
How's that for an answer?
Okay, to be fair, it's not his responsibility to go to a bad team just to keep the league afloat, as if that's the issue. This is what I don't want. I don't want to hear what he started to go down that path if we still have to go out there and play the games. No, you really don't. You could put that team's name on a lineup card and they'll win the title. I'm going to hate that this year if the storyline becomes, well, here's some ways Golden State could lose. Remember, we had to go through that last year? Steph Curry missed a couple games in February. Is this the end? No, he's resting for the playoffs. The end for everybody else.
That's the one unknown, because early in this championship four-year window for the Warriors, they were historically healthy. They didn't really have much adversity, players missing games, none of that. Then they had Durant. This last year, they did have some injury.
In the last two years, they had some regular season stuff, though.
That's the only thing that can slow this team down is a costly injury in the playoffs.
Two. They would need two.
Probably. You're probably right.
If you lost Steph, you're still the favorite to win the title. If you lost Kevin Durant, you're still the favorite to win the title. If you lose both of them, then you're not going to win. I'll give you that. But if you tell me next year, hey, you know, Golden State, they're going to have to win their first round series over Minnesota or whoever, but they're going to have to do it without DeMarcus Cousins and Klay Thompson. So what?
Well, they could win if everyone's healthy, they can win the first round without Durant and Curry, with just the other three.
But I'm saying the only way they don't win the title is if Curry and Durant aren't playing in the finals. Or I guess even in the Western Conference Finals. As long as they have one of those guys with the supporting cast, they're still the best team.
NBA
they're
not as good fever. As
they would have been, but they're still the best team.
Here's more from Boogie. Why did he join the Warriors?
Just a chance to play for a winning culture. I also have a chance to play with some of the, you know, the most talented players of this era. So, you know, those two things alone, I mean, that pretty much sums it up.
Admittedly, I'm digging deep here to find reasons to be intrigued from the outside on this.
He sounds fired up.
Yeah, he really does. Is the one thing. He said it. The opportunity to play in a winning culture. That's the one thing that has followed him his entire pro career. Sacramento, New Orleans. He was out for the second half of the season in New Orleans this year.
Yeah.
And they were playing well with him. They played well without him. The one thing that has dogged him his entire pro career is, does he make his teams better? Now, he would have to be just a world-class mess-up to ruin the culture of the Golden State Warriors.
He would have to hit Draymond Green with Steph Curry to mess up the Warriors. That's the only way that team's going to struggle, because they added DeMarcus Cousins. It's a fair point. The guy had to spend years on Sacramento. You can't fault him for going somewhere and trying to win. And we had Kevin Arnovitz on earlier in the show, and he had tweeted out something about a week or so ago that it's somewhat of a long tweet, but the last line is, if you wanted DeMarcus, you probably could have had him. It's not like teams were knocking down his door to sign him because of the injury.
Yes.
I mean, he's a top 10, top 15, 20 player when he's healthy. But
I would buy into that thinking more if it happened later in July. Cousins signed on July 2nd, July 3rd?
Yeah. Yeah.
Still pretty early in the process. Yeah, and I know there was a huge wave at 9:01 Phoenix time on July 1st for people to sign, but it's not like 3 weeks passed. It's not like, you know, Clint Capella still doesn't have a deal from Houston.
Yeah.
Today's July 20th. I mean, then it becomes a little bit concerning.
And, you know, I mean, that was his tweet, but I guess I'd piggyback on what you just said of, I don't think he was coming to Phoenix for $5.3 million.
No, and there's not
only Golden State gets that discount.
No, and after the draft, it was, you know, just from a fit standpoint, Phoenix made no sense.
Yeah.
And there was other places that didn't make sense.
Do you have any more of that audio? You know what that sounds like? It sounds like the reporters on one end of those really long, rich people tables, and it's just like big, dank hallway, and DeMarcus Cousins is like 50 feet away on the other end.
He did have a little fun, too, when he was asked about his relationship with Warriors players.
Just to put this out there, my favorite by far is Clay. I mean, our short time together, you know, in the summers, like, for him to be as dull as he is, it's never a dull moment. I really enjoyed my time with Clay, but they're all great guys. Me and Draymond click right away. We're two goofballs that, you know, like to joke around a lot, so we click right away. Same thing with KD, and same thing with Steph. Everybody knows he's a goofball. So, you know, it's a great group of guys, easygoing people. Maybe outside of Draymond, but you know, it's a great group. I think we'll mesh well.
Just a bunch of goofballs. We're going to win 80 games.
Pretty much. Doesn't it sound like he's being interviewed in a castle?
Yes.
The only storyline worth watching right now with Golden State is DeMarcus Cousins and Draymond Green. Because that feels like that could really go sideways.
Yeah, but if you're winning every night.
That's true.
Still haven't heard anything else about David West on the night of the championship, game four, saying, if you guys knew what we went through this year.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Nothing.
You guys went through that two-game losing streak. That seemed rough.
Adversity. It's the last half-day club of the season with the Diamondbacks and your favorite Arizona sports host on August 8th. Get lower-level day game tickets for only $9.87. D-backs taking on the Phillies, and we'll be broadcasting live from the Four Peaks draft room. Just text HALF to 620-620. And we'll send you the link to get your half-day club tickets for only $9.87. That's half to 620-620. Staying in the NBA, something popped into my head as we were talking to Jared Dudley earlier. And if you missed it, Jared Dudley traded by the Suns to the Brooklyn Nets along with a 2021 second-round pick. And the Suns get... I'm going to stumble on the name now because of what we talked about before. Not for air. Darrell Arthur, who's going to be bought out by the Suns, so he won't play an actual game with the Suns. Jared Dudley says he expects to play for Brooklyn. But I started thinking about it, and we asked Jared the question about how disappointing is it now that you came here with a specific role as a mentor to leave while the Suns are ready to make a jump?
Yeah.
And I think most people around the league would say the Suns are ready to make a jump. How big that jump is remains to be seen. Is it a jump to the playoffs? I still think it's unlikely. But there's a group of teams in the league. There's certainly haves and have-nots. Some, like the Suns and the Sacramento Kings, have been have-nots for quite some time, not participating in the postseason. The Lakers haven't made the postseason in 5 years. I'm not including them in this discussion either because they got LeBron James. But if you consider the following teams, Luke.
Okay.
The New York Knicks, Chicago Bulls, Orlando Magic, Atlanta Hawks, Brooklyn Nets, and in the West, the Kings, the Mavs, the Grizzlies are not that far removed from playoffs, but they got to a bad spot last year. So I'll put the Grizzlies in there and the Suns. So what is that? A total of 9 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take a look at the future. What it may hold for those franchises based on what we've seen, not only in seasons past, but what's happened this summer. I really like and I know it's only a group of 9 bad franchises right now or perceived bad franchises. I'd put the Suns at the top of that list, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think the only argument against them would be that they're in the West, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Knicks are, I mean, they are the definition of a dumpster fire. They're horribly mismanaged on every level, but they're in the Eastern Conference.
But they do have Kristaps Porzingis. They added Kevin Knox, who looks like he's going to be a player. If Neal Akina comes around, this Mitchell Robinson kid they found is supposed to be, you know, a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
At least they're pointing in the right direction. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Jackson's
maybe,
not there anymore.
But they might step in. I mean, they could self-destruct at any moment. But you're right, especially with that Knox pick. He might be a steal of that draft.
I mean, I was convinced that he's going to be a player as soon as the Knicks fans booed it on draft night.
That's true.
The Chicago Bulls? Wendell Carter was really good in the summer league, but Larry Markkinen's there. I guess there's somewhat of a direction.
What are you using to measure? Just are they going in the right direction, or like where they're going to be in 3 years?
Are they moving in the right direction? And based on these teams, who's moving fastest in that direction?
I still think the Suns. I like the Suns' core. If you just take conference alignment or whatever, all that out of it, I like the Suns' core better than the Bulls and the Knicks. Yeah. Yes.
Magic?
Often forget they're in the league.
Which is easy to do. I mean, they gave Aaron Gordon $84 million. Jonathan Isaac was not good as a rookie. Mo Bamba might struggle as a rookie, as much as I like the guy.
Yeah.
I think they're moving in the right direction, but it's pretty slow.
I don't even know that they are.
Atlanta Hawks?
Because Aaron Gordon went off last year and they won 25 games. Now, I know the counter is, well, look how good Devin Booker's been and the Suns won 21 games, but again, that's 21 in the West.
And Aaron Gordon was such a jerk in Uncle Drew, let's be honest. Call it like I see it.
Spoiler alert.
Casper Jones was a jerk. Atlanta Hawks?
If I was Atlanta, I would have just kept Doncic. I think I would have just, because they need a lot. Atlanta might be the worst team.
They might be. Brooklyn?
No.
Sacramento?
No. Dallas?
I kind of like what Dallas.
I like
has
what
done.
Dallas is doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dennis Smith Jr. last year, Doncic this year,
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
So you at least have a big.
I'd probably put Dallas second on the list. Memphis, like Jaren Jackson.
I like
lot.
Him, but I don't know.
Mike Conley's coming back.
But I mean, again, that's kind of just what they are, what they were last year, plus a rookie. Or at least the Suns have added a few pieces now over the last couple of years.
I'm gonna write this up on ArizonaSports.com. Suns have brightest future of nine worst franchises.
Of bottom third of league. That's a good question to Jared Dudley, because he was there through two very difficult years for the Suns and went through two, basically three coaches. He's not ever going to play for Kokoschkov, but it's just in those 2 years, the switch up coaches and all the drama at the start of last season, and now he leaves right when things are starting to turn. I don't know what, I guess the parallel would be like filling in on a bunch of Arizona sports shows through the first couple weeks of July and then leaving right when NFL season starts. That's about what it would be. That's about the equivalent.
What kind of a loser would do that?
I feel like Jared
somewhat
Dudley.
Relatable.
Yeah, just a little bit. I don't know.
Luke will be appearing on Sports Radio Brooklyn next week.
With co-hosting with Jared Dudley.
You better start growing your beard.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I did want to ask Jared that
oh, the
too.
Hipster
he was gonna, if he was going to embrace the hipster thing.
He's going to have to start wearing tight jeans.
So I have a niece and a nephew who live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they've fully embraced the hipster thing.
Do you ever visit them?
No.
Oh. You should dress up like a hipster for Halloween. That'd be awesome.
No. That's good.
That shirt you're wearing today, is that actually a vintage shirt, or is it a new shirt made to look vintage?
It's a new shirt made to look vintage.
Because I didn't know if that was like a 20-year-old shirt. No. That you can now fit into again because
there's only one person
smeltness.
On this show that wears 20-year-old shirts, Jarrett. And I think we know who that is.
You know what's funny? Maybe somebody your age agrees with this. When you say this happened, happened 20 years ago, don't you think that like that means like the 70s? But it means like the late 90s.
You never even described
what are you saying?
Never mind.
This shirt was. We should at least point out for the listeners who can't see any of us.
It's a purple Diamondback shirt with the Arizona, like the old jersey font.
Yes.
And the patch.
It's a quality shirt.
I like it.
It is a good looking shirt.
Be even better if it was from the 70s, 20 years before.
But they have the same style with the current uniforms, too.
Yeah. Not as vintage-y now.
I'm trying to be all edgy, you know? That's what I do. Coming up, speaking of the Diamondbacks, second half begins tonight against the Rockies. And while they won't have a Manny Machado to add to the mix, there are some players who are in the spotlight that need to produce in the second half. We'll give you our list of the most important next. It's Bickley and Murata. Luke Lipinski in for Bick today, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I feel like we're finally at the starting gate of the start of the second part of the season with a fully loaded vehicle, so to speak. We didn't have a lot of our healthy A lot of our players back, a lot of our players who were healthy are now back together again. We did not have that, and I feel like they're all sitting in the right car right now, getting ready to take off for a really exciting second half. And that's exciting to me because I've missed those guys. I miss watching them play together every single day, and we just started towards the second half of the season to get a lot of those guys back.
Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, talking with the media yesterday as the team reconvened from the All-Star break at Chase Field, the site of a three-game series with the Colorado Rockies starting tonight. Of course, you can hear all the action all weekend long here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Pre-game tonight, 6 o'clock, first pitch, 6:40. It's Robbie Ray against Germán Márquez in the opener. So we started thinking about it. The way things stand right now, the Diamondbacks, this is what we know. They are in a four-team cluster in the National League West with the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Rockies, along with themselves. The Dodgers are a half game in first place. The Dodgers made, I think, the biggest splash any team can and will make before the trade deadline in getting Manny Machado and doing it 11 full days before the deadline. That's something to consider as well. So those are all the things that we know. There's a lot of unknown, like who the Diamondbacks target in trade talks, who they actually end up with. If nothing happens, that's kind of the basis of the next discussion. If nothing happens of major significance with the Diamondbacks, who are the players that you are most looking to that need to step up in the second half of the season? That's kind of the basis of all of it.
Well, okay. I mean, a couple guys on this list I made don't necessarily need to step up. I went with a slightly different interpretation.
All right, the most important players for the Diamondbacks in the second half, regardless of criteria.
Okay. So some of them do need to step up. So how are we going to do this? We're going to count up from five?
Yeah, we'll each go 5-5 and then 4-4.
Okay.
All right, you're number five?
I'm going to go with...
Wait a minute. We rarely get a chance to do this. Let's do this.
Bickley and Murata present Top 5.
You just wanted to hear this music, didn't you? Okay. I forgot we had that.
At least
honestly,
he played a relevant sounder and not just random.
I pooped my pants.
How are you shaking his head like you're being immature?
I pooped my pants.
Yeah, see, wow, you played them both at the same time. That is impressive.
You don't want to fart hard. You want to fight hard for your boys.
That is true. Those are words to live by.
Wasn't that like a Vince Lombardi speech? Or
yeah.
He said that right before Super Bowl I.
Now I feel like I should try to find a different Steven since I started to say his first name and the drama is gone. Steven Souza Jr., who I don't expect a ton from, but they've gotten basically nothing from so far, going within the context of the Dodgers just got better, and they might not be done. They might add somebody. But either way, they've gotten better. If we're going with the assumption that everything is the way it is right now, they've improved. The only way the Diamondbacks can improve internally is by getting additional production from guys like Steven Souza Jr. So he's fifth on my list.
All right, fifth on my list, and this was kind of a throwaway for me, but it's Paul Goldschmidt. And I think we are over the fear of Paul Goldschmidt going into one of those just slumps that we've never seen from him before. I think we're seeing the Paul Goldschmidt that we are going to see. But if that's important for him to be kind of the rudder offensively for this team the rest of the way.
Yeah.
So that's why he's lower on the list. I'm pretty confident that we'll see the Goldie that we've known and loved for so long.
Yeah. Have right. to.
Number four?
Number four, I went with Greinke, Zach Greinke. I don't know why I felt the need to say his first name. Because it's not his nickname, Greinke, from two seasons ago or whenever that was. The pitching performance that he has turned in this year is somewhat under the radar. But
you know what Zach Greinke's real first name is, by the way?
No. It is crazy, though, isn't it?
Donald.
Oh. Do you remember him going by the nickname Greinke on Players Nickname Day or whatever it was called?
Are they doing that again this year?
I don't know, but that was terrific.
It was fantastic. I loved it. It was almost as good as his quote before the home run derby of, I expect the home run derby to be boring and I'm going to go home early.
That was great.
So his real name is Donald Greinke?
Yeah.
Why not just go by Donald Greinke?
Why does anybody go by different names other than their own?
Well, I know a lot of people that go by their middle names.
So Lucas?
So his name is Donald Zach Greinke? Like his middle name is Zach? It's not like a nickname?
Let me check on that.
His middle name is Greinke.
Donald Greinke?
Yeah. Donald Zachary Greinke.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, he's number four on my list. Not because he needs to step up. But he needs to keep doing what he's doing for them to legitimately have any success. His ERA is at 3.18. And you take it for granted to a certain extent because he's being paid so much money and he's not dominant, but he's really effective almost every time he goes out there, and they have no chance if he isn't.
Yeah. My number four is a combination of two players, because one of these two players will have to play this role if nothing happens, and it's Clay Buchholz or Matt Cook. Somebody to stabilize the back end of the roster. And both of those guys, when called upon before the All-Star break, did really decent jobs at that. I think if the Diamondbacks want to keep pace with those other three teams, they have to have really consistent starting pitching, 1 through 5. And, of course, you're going to have slip-ups between now and September. But for the most part, that needs to be a stable position. If they're not going to get anybody, if Shelby Miller is not in the future for the rest of this season, it's got to be one of those guys to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's sort of along the lines of, just to make the playoffs, you're going to have that fifth starter be stabilized. My number three is Jake Lamb, who the Diamondbacks really just haven't gotten much of anything from this season. And that's not to say that they won't in the second half. We talked about this yesterday. He's traditionally a much better first half player. But they counted on him coming into this year, and you can't fault a player for being hurt. But they have gotten, what, 6 home runs and 28 RBI from Jake Lamb and a .230 batting average. In terms of key players that need to step up, I don't think there's anybody on this team, if that's your specific criteria, that needs to step up more than Jake Lamb.
Yeah, my number three was a player you already had on your list, and it's Steven Souza Jr. Because he has the ability to affect things offensively, and if you look at what he did in the first half because of the injuries, he can kind of be treated as an acquisition almost. Yeah, he's played in 23 games. He's driven in 6 runs. He's hitting .195. It's a guy who last year was the Tampa Bay Rays' most valuable player and hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
And can contribute defensively, too. He's got to get better. He's got to get more acclimated into what the Diamondbacks are doing. More used to National League pitching. He's got to be counted on big time in the second half.
I would just say one other thing on Lamb. His home runs at the All-Star break last year, 20, with 67 RBI and a .279 average. Compare that to the numbers I just threw out there for this year.
Your number two?
Number two is Robbie Ray, who, if you're looking at the Diamondbacks being a team that can make the playoffs and make a run, you have to have Robbie Ray be what he was last year. And the reason I say that is because even when they were struggling this year to hit, they were still winning games for a while before May, and a lot of it was because of the pitching, the starting pitching. But they really weren't getting anything from Robbie Ray. So if you're looking at a team improving, and you're looking at a team finding ways to play to their strengths, if you can have Greinke, Ray, and Corbin at the top of the rotation, you're never going to have very long losing streaks. You're going to have rough patches over the course of 65 games, especially with the schedule we threw out there earlier. But if you have that 1-2-3 punch, you've got 3 stoppers at the top of your rotation potentially.
Yeah.
But they
got to
have Robbie Ray.
Number two on my list, again, a player you mentioned, Jake Lamb. Historically a really good first half offensive player and not so good in the second half. That needs to flip-flop. They got to get more production from him. He's just that important to what they do.
I mean, part of the reason the Machado trade not happening for Arizona hurt so much is because that's really the only position player they were linked to. And a lot of that is because they haven't gotten Jake Lamb-like production out of Jake Lamb.
Yeah. Who's at the top of your list?
My number one was your throwaway. But I think we have been reminded this season that when Paul Goldschmidt doesn't hit, this team is terrible. I mean, they were absolutely unwatchable for most of May. Once he started hitting, it's not like he's the only guy that turned it around, but his production has been so dramatic since then, to the point where he actually probably is an NL MVP candidate if he just keeps doing what he's been doing.
Yeah.
It's basic. I mean, obviously, he's not somebody that needs to step up. He's already stepping up. But if Paul Goldschmidt's not in the lineup or he's hitting the way he was earlier this season, they're not a very good team.
Number one on my list, Robbie Ray. His ERA is 5.03 through 10 starts, 3-2 this year. And I like Robbie Ray a lot. We've seen the potential. He flashed it last year when he won 15 games, and people were wondering if he was the ace of the Diamondback staff. But you have to wonder, was last year the anomaly? If you take last year out of the mix, he's 17-33 as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. That ERA was under 3 last year. The strikeout numbers have been ridiculous. He's striking out 13.6 over 9 innings, which is even up from last year. But the whip is up, the pitch count is up, the efficiency is down. Robbie Ray simply needs to be better for this team in the second half for them to have a chance.
Where do you envision him, just if you're ranking the starters on this team? Like, do you see the rotation going Greinke, Corbin, Ray, or do you think he needs to be the number two guy?
I think it's better for the Diamondbacks if he's clearly the number two guy.
Yeah.
Which has not been the case.
And you're right. I mean, there's talk coming into the season maybe he'd emerge as the number one guy.
Yeah. So that's our top five list. We rolled it out for the first time in a while. Dusted off that music bed.
I don't think I've ever even heard that music bed.
Yeah, you probably haven't. The Phoenix Convention Center will once again host more than 75 of the Southwest's best craft brewers with over 350 craft beers. And we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day. Brought to you by Vital 4 Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital 4 Men. Find out more at vital4men.com.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this dealing between the cards and me until I have a new contract and we both agree. So I'll hold out for what's fair and right. You let me know when we can unite, 'cause I want a new deal and you won't be seeing any sign of me. You've heard Vince and Andy sing what's on my mind. Cards I want to show up, I don't want to get fined. I got a bad contract now, I can't take any more. And I don't know how many more songs I can endure. So it's time to give me what I want, come on now. Let's have a detente, 'cause I want a new deal and you won't be seeing any sign of me.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
Is that it? Ooga. Please tell me you're putting these all on a CD whenever he signs and shooting it directly into outer space.
Or putting it in a time capsule. They're all available on a daily updated post on ArizonaSports.com.
Right.
Jarrett Carlin making his triumphant return to the Song of the Day.
Because of
Hooked on a Feeling.
Yes. By Blue Swede. That was technically by Juice Swede that time.
Is it Swede or Suede?
Isn't it S-W-E-D-E?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I never knew that.
I really thought it was Suede.
And good use of the word detente. That was nice.
Well, I had to go to Rhymes with Want for that one and then find a word that... Now, what I'm really looking forward to is Monday when Luke Lipinski's song will debut. As promised.
Is this you telling me to do something?
No.
Do something, Luke.
Oh, okay. I said next week. I thought you had something already in the can for Monday.
I have a few in the can, but the audience is demanding.
Based on the reactions I've seen, the audience is not demanding more singing.
Generally speaking.
You've appeared.
It's not just Jarrett.
That's
three in a row for Jarrett that I haven't cringed at.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So your immune system is broken
down. The Radiohead one you did was just awful.
Oh, the ending?
In every way.
I'm convinced Radiohead's going to break up because of the way just the last 5 seconds. I listened to it for some reason. I was in my car and like birds were exploding around my car.
I would rather listen to current Radiohead music than listen to that again. And that's saying something.
He took a very challenging song, too.
Yeah, no! Jarrett!
There's not enough soundproof glass in the world. because it all just cracked.
Yeah, there's people at the web where you sit, Vince, that are doing the same thing when Wolf was screaming earlier.
They took a tour of people through the newsroom today, and they all just ran out screaming after those 3 seconds right there.
All right, so yeah, the musical trend continues with the David Johnson contract situation as we get closer and closer to camp. So hopefully there will be a resolution soon, and we can put this to rest and finally print up those CDs. Press them, if you will. But we talked about those three-year predictions that Dan Graziano came out.
Yeah.
Forget the 3 years. Next year, the Vegas win total over-under for the Cardinals is 5.5, which seems, when you consider all things, yes, there's a new coaching staff. Yes, there's uncertainty at quarterback just because there's two new guys vying for the role. There's a lot of new players, some new schemes. There is some uncertainty. But this team finished 8-8 last year, Luke.
Yep.
And if you just take the offensive side of the ball, when they won 8 games by playing Drew Stanton and Blaine Gabbert for more than half the season, the defensive side of the ball, almost everybody is back on that side. Tyrann Mathieu, you know, I think he'll have a good year in Houston. I don't think it was a giant loss from what we saw defensively last year. Just based on that, to have the best pass rusher in the game, yeah, I said it, and Chandler Jones, to add Marcus Golden back to the fold after an injury, and pretty much everybody else back, that should be enough for 7-8 wins in terms of the over-under in Vegas, don't you think?
I'm 100% with you. I'm absolutely, we're in lockstep on this, because I feel like, I mean, you bring up the Vegas line of 5.5 wins. I know that's just basically something Vegas sets where they feel like they'll get the most money on both sides. So I get that that's maybe not their prediction for how many wins the Cardinals are going to have, but it is absolutely a barometer of how the betting public feels about the Cardinals. So they feel like the Cardinals are one of the worst teams in the NFL. The point that everybody forgets is, well, yeah, they were 8-8 last year, but now they have Sam Bradford who might get hurt, and they have Josh Rosen. Well, you just made it. They didn't have Carson Palmer all of last year. Everybody acts like Carson Palmer was here for 16 weeks, and that's why they went 8-8. They didn't have Carson Palmer for half the season. They had Blaine Gabbert for a lot of the season. They had Drew Stanton for another large portion of the season. They didn't have David Johnson. So the offense should be better just based on the fact that you're getting David Johnson back this year. But that's not the strength of this team. The strength of this team, absolutely, last year was the defense. And you've added Steve Wilks, who, when you're predicting this team to be the worst in the division or to have the longest odds to make the playoffs, you are assuming the absolute worst of Steve Wilks in year one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can't sit here and say, well, you know, look at what the Rams did last year with McVay, so Steve Wilks can be just as good. You can't do that. But if you just assume that Steve Wilks probably knows how to coach defense, because that's why he's an NFL head coach now, and you start to hear guys like Patrick Peterson say, yeah, I think he's going to utilize me in a way where I can maybe make some more plays out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I expect this defense that was already good last year to be noticeably better this year. And that, to me, right there, the defense, I think, could win them 6 games by themselves, even if David Johnson retires because of Jarrett singing.
Can you imagine? Not to mention the depth is an issue at a couple spots. You know, you're always concerned about the cornerback spot opposite of Patrick Peterson. There's candidates there. Brandon Williams. They brought in some guys like Ben Wickery and Jamar Taylor. That might be better. The depth on the defensive line, I still think, is pretty good. I'm looking at a projected depth chart, and you have Robert Kamdichi, Rodney Gunter, and Benson Mayoa, who is decent at times in Dallas on the second string defensive line.
Yeah.
If there's a concern depth-wise right now, to me, it's at the linebacker core. We're behind Hassan Reddick, Josh Bynes, and Deion Buchanan right now. You would assume Bryson Albright, Scooby Wright, and Edmund Robinson as the backups. That could be a concern.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's not like I think this defense is truly dominant or anything. Or immune to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody really is. But Jarrett and I were talking about this the other day. If you just look at the Cardinals' very best players, and you go with David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald and Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson,
their top four players.
Yeah, their top four players are probably better than any other team's top four players, with the exception of, there's probably like 3 or 4 teams, but that's probably a top 5 collection of your top four players.
Yeah, what they have in the NFL top 100 countdown, not counting David Johnson, they had 3 in the top 30. I think there was one other team that could make that claim. So their top tier talent is right at
the top. And David Johnson would have been four.
Yeah, they should have had it, no doubt. All right, coming up, a former Pittsburgh Steeler said something really, really scandalous until you figure out it's not scandalous at all. But we'll get into that, some more NFL talk next. Bickley and Murata with Luke Lipinski today on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.